Welcome to my super secret podcast. I started this show for the purpose of having a platform where I can say and discuss whatever I want. I have another podcast, but after receiving pushback from relatives about some of the content, I figured the only way to get around this was to have a secret podcast that they didn't know about. I don't know if this is a good idea, but I guess I'll find out. I'm James, your secret host. This show is going to be about news, tech, a little entertainment, and anything else I feel like talking about. I'm open to suggestions, so feel free to email me at mysupersecretpodcast@gmail.com. Come join me on this journey, and together we will see where this all goes. So, what's going on? I'll tell you what's going on. The shelter-in-place orders were set to expire today, which is Friday, May 15th, in the area in which I live, but the non-essential businesses still won't be opening. This means as though I'm technically free to move about, there's no place to really go besides where I've already been going these last few months. Well, that doesn't matter, as the governor extended the order until June 17th. I've noticed increased vehicle traffic on the roads around where I live as people feel that the worst is past us. It's still mandatory to wear masks in stores, but I don't notice many people wearing them when they are out and about, even when congregating in groups of three or more. Can anyone say a second wave? I hope this doesn't happen, as I don't feel like doing this again. If it does come, I hope it's around the holidays. At least I'd be assured of being off from work then. Also, I'd have an excuse for not spending as much as I usually do on Christmas presents. We'll see where all this goes in the next few weeks, I guess. Cool tech. Spotify just keeps adding features that other subscription music services should have. I subscribe to both Spotify and Apple Music, but hardly use Apple's offering. The only reason I keep it is because I have the family plan and it would be too difficult to move them all over to Spotify. Spotify also has gone big into podcasts, and I find it convenient not to have to swap apps to listen to both types of media. If I'm understanding the new feature in Spotify correctly, which they are calling Group Session, the host taps a Connect menu on their screen and share a scannable code with guests. After the guests scan the code, everyone who has joined the session has full control, including pause, play, skip, and can select tracks on the queue and add choices of their own. The only drawback I see to this feature is that the guests have to physically scan a code, meaning they have to be physically with you to do so. Perhaps a way around this would be for the guests to be using the desktop version of Spotify and be able to scan the session code from there. If not, this is a very limited feature that requires all participants to be in the same location. Nokia had a feature like this back in the proverbial day that allowed a host to be able to authorize people to listen in to what he was listening to in real time. That was many years ago. Poor Nokia was way ahead of its time and didn't deserve what happened to it. What I'm watching. Well, I binge-watched Upload on Amazon Prime during the weekend, last weekend I should say, and can say that I enjoyed it. I'm a captive audience at this point, so I can't say I would have watched it if this whole pandemic thing wasn't going on. The premise of the show is that it's the future, and if you are dying, you can choose to upload your consciousness into a computer and basically live forever, if you have the money. The problem being is by doing so, your physical body dies, particularly your head, which is destroyed during the upload process. Your body is saved for the day, Technology has figured out a way to inject your consciousness back into a physical brain. It wasn't explained how you would obtain a new head or new brain. A young coder gets into a car accident that shouldn't have happened and is convinced he is dying and uploads. But was he murdered? The episodes feature some light and dark comedy along with some sinister plots. The show has a couple of different storylines during the early episodes that all come together during the last couple of them. Not a bad show for some light entertainment, but nothing groundbreaking either. I also started watching the new season of Billions on Showtime. I guess I have to rewatch last season because I thought, and again, nobody pays me to, the two protagonists were now allies, but they are not in this season. I must have missed something. Anyhow, it's a good show, and I enjoy it. What are you guys watching? A podcast I've been listening to for quite a while has gained some relevance during this pandemic, and its name is China Unscripted. It's brought to you by the same folks that do the China Uncensored on YouTube. The podcast goes more in depth on subjects that wouldn't be possible on YouTube. The episode on the origin of communism is really worth a listen. It goes back further than Karl Marx. I know I'm late to the game, but I just recently got into the No Agenda podcast featuring Adam Curry, a.k.a. the Podfather, and John C. Dvorak, who I remember being a cool tech writer for Byte magazine, I think, back in my youth. He always had the latest computer tech and would write his opinion of it. Adam Curry invented podcasting and helped write the first RSS feed software and made sure it would stay an open project. The two hosts talk about a lot of subjects, but of course lately it's mostly about COVID-19. My only complaint is that the show goes for 3+ hours at a pop, and that's just too long for a single listening session. I'd rather have 5 30-minute episodes spread over a week. When I'm commuting to work and back again, the long format, I guess, will fit in better with my listening habits. I've got a war story for you. This war story is set in the late 1980s in the Republic of the Philippines. I was stationed at Clark Air Base, which was the second largest U.S. military base at the time, behind Edwards Air Force Base in California. Edwards was bigger area-wise, but most of that is testing and bombing range. Clark, besides being large in area size, was also the most populous. All branches of the military had some kind of presence there. Right outside the main gates of the base was Fields Avenue. Located on that avenue were hotels, restaurants, and all kinds of businesses. But the main attraction of Fields Avenue was the bars. They had all kinds of them, small hole-in-the-wall dives to multi-story monstrosities with movie screens playing MTV. Beer was cheap and quite good, but guys went there mainly for one particular reason. The women. There had to be thousands of them plying the oldest trade in the world, and their rates were very reasonable. When guys first arrived in country, they were like kids in a candy store. Downtown every night, but after a while, like everything else, it got old and you looked for some other means of entertainment. This was the state I was in when this event took place. Clark Air Base was so large that it had multiple gates where you could enter the base. As an example, upon entering the main gate to get to the barracks, you had to either wait for a shuttle bus, which had a very reduced schedule in the evening, or take a taxicab, which was about a 20-minute drive and cost $5 plus the tip. Now, these are 1980s dollars I'm talking about. To save money, you could take a trike, which was a motorcycle with a sidecar, for about 50 cents to the Friendship Gate, and then catch a cab from there, which would cost you about $2 plus tip, so about half the price. During this time in the Philippines, there was a large communist insurgency from the New People's Army, or NPA as they were called by the locals. Their attacks on local police and army personnel in the area were increasing, but they just kind of left us USGIs alone. Of course, that would change some months later, and I'm lucky we weren't targets when this story took place. You also had to worry about local thugs who would try and rob you. Another form of local transportation was jeepneys. These were old World War II jeeps converted into minibuses. The rule of thumb here was you always took licensed jeepneys, not unlicensed ones, because you could be robbed if you did so. I joined a dart league and had matches on Wednesday evenings. On one such Wednesday, I was returning from a match and was a little low on funds. I'd figured I'd take a trike to the Friendship Gate and a taxi from there to save half the money. The problem I ran into was that for some reason, I don't know if it was a holiday or whatever, all the trikes I tried to hire were trying to charge me the equivalent of $2 instead of the usual 50-cent price. This would negate any savings, so now frustrated and a little angry, I decided to walk to the Friendship Gate. To walk to that gate was about 30 minutes, and 95% of that was in the dark. And by dark, I mean very dark. About halfway to my destination, one of those unlicensed jeepneys slowly passed me by, the driver asking if I wanted a ride, which I turned down. Instead of just continuing on, the vehicle stopped about 10 feet ahead of me, and two rough-looking Filipino gentlemen jumped out from the back, and they started walking towards me with a not-too-friendly look on their faces. Figuring I was about to be robbed, I bladed my body and got ready to rumble. Well, this is pretty stupid because the locals there are armed with either butterfly knives, guns, or both. When the pair were just about on me, they both just stopped in their tracks and, with wide-eyed expressions, ran, not walked, back to the jeepney that took off as soon as they were on board. Figuring I scared them off and quite proud of myself to boot, I resumed my walk. I then heard a rumble behind me, and before I knew it, a huge dump truck, I mean a huge one, was alongside me. In the bed of the truck were about 15 men dressed in olive drab uniform shirts, all armed with M16s, and the ones facing my side had them pointed towards me. Now realizing that they were the reason for the hasty retreat of the two would-be robbers, and thinking that they were cops or soldiers, I looked up at them, gave them the thumbs up, and yelled, "Thank you!" The men just stared back at me with kind of an angry look in their eyes as the truck passed by. Not the reaction I had expected. I watched as the dump truck continued on a bit and then make a left turn down a block of the residential area that ran parallel to the base. A few minutes later, I heard the distinct sound of gunfire coming from where that truck had turned. Now it was my time to run. When I finally got to the Friendship Gate, I asked the bored security policeman if he had heard the gunfire. He smirked and said it was probably just firecrackers and looked at me as if I was some kind of pussy. I hopped in a cab and got safely back to my barracks. The next morning at work, I was describing the incident to a fellow GI when a Filipino worker who had overheard the conversation came up to us and told me what I had saw was the NPA who had killed a local politician and his bodyguards that evening. He then showed me a newspaper article which had the story. I stood there stunned for a few seconds and then went about my tasks of the day, thankful that I had dodged not one but two bullets. Literally. Conspiracies. This is a real one. This has actually happened. A University of Arkansas professor was arrested last Monday for failing to disclose a financial relationship with the communist Chinese government. He failed to disclose his relationship when applying for a grant for money from NASA. This follows the arrest in January of Charles Lieber, who headed Harvard's chemistry department, and he was arrested for fraud over his ties to the communist government. These are just two of many recent cases. You know, folks, we are in a Cold War with China, and it's about time we accept this. Now, the difference between the Cold War with the old Soviet Union and this one with the People's Republic of China is that the communist government in China has money to spend, mainly our money, while the Soviet Union didn't. The CCP is using this money that it earns primarily from our lust for cheap goods to influence our media, which includes news organizations in Hollywood, and they like to influence our institutes of higher learning. Why do you think that stories about China are almost verbatim copies of press releases from the propaganda teams employed by the CCP? And have you noticed the flood of movies where the CCP assumes the lead role? I don't recall the names, but one movie was set on the high seas and the other one was set in outer space. That's where the communists save the world. Every time I see a Chinese character logo or some other production house name I don't recognize during the opening credits, I become wary of what I'm about to see. Do any of you remember Richard Gere? He was a pretty big actor, but suddenly he seemed to fall off the face of the earth and screen. Why? Because he is an advocate for the Free Tibet movement, so he is blacklisted in Hollywood. Why is he blacklisted? Because guess who doesn't like that movement? You've got it, CCP. The prior administration ceded control of the internet to a world body, and shortly thereafter, our good old buddies, the CCP, submitted a proposal to change it to mirror their own highly censored version. How about the World Health Organization, whom the U.S. was the biggest funder of, towing the CCP line when this pandemic first started? I could go on, but I think I've made my point. Well, it's time to get up and get out of here. See you next time. If you have any suggestions, email me at mysupersecretpodcast@gmail.com. I look forward to hearing from you. If you get bored or want to fall asleep, listen to my other podcast, OFNT, Old Fart, New Tech. Remember, don't tell anybody about this. It's our secret. Take care, guys.